What do y'all do for 4th of July?
Ooh, I was doing some camping, actually.
Where?
Still not allowed to say where.
What?
But the
oh,
same
that secret
place
campsite. Yeah. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I did get a new picture of Blanchardville on the,
you
on
would.
The way. People may have seen that on
you
social media
me this
last
morning,
week.
And I was like, classic.
Well, yes. Once this is released last week. Right. But yeah, got to go to Blanchardville again, so always a plus. Yeah, what did you guys do?
I was up in Door County all weekend. Ooh. First time I've ever gone to Door County, I think, over 4th of July weekend, because normally I would be at Summerfest
right.
in Milwaukee. I live walking distance from there, but no Summerfest, why not get out of town?
You still made the best of it, it sounds like.
I did still make the best of it. It was a very hot weekend up there, a lot of sun.
So hot.
Lake Michigan's been very warm so far this year because there's been so much sunshine. And boy, we jumped in the waters of Green Bay off of Ephraim. It was like 76 degree water. It was phenomenal.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That's awesome.
A lot of wineries too up there. And we'll get into that later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mariah, how about you?
Well, I did nothing on actual 4th of July, but on the 5th of July, I went water skiing on the Rock River in Janesville.
Ooh. Now, you did that for the show once a long time ago.
Yes, I was a...
One of your first episodes, I think.
So, actually, my uncle who took us water skiing was an Aqua J member back in the day. He's still an amazing water skier. And yeah, in the show... I'm not an amazing water skier. But in the show, they had me...
I wasn't going to say anything.
They had me perform. It was terrifying. We didn't do any choreography. My sister and I high-fived at one point. I tried to barefoot, though, and ooh. I did it for the show up in Tomahawk, and
wow.
I had, I guess, really a lot of luck on my first try for the show because this round, I face planted 3 times in a row.
Oh, no.
And my upper body right now, if I seem robotic, you know why. It hurts.
Seems
Ellen,
fine.
What'd you
Ellen,
do?
How about you?
I hung out with a bunch of physicists.
Oh, that sounds
yeah.
How intelligent.
So one of my friends from high school, I went and saw her family, and both of her parents are physicists. I got there and they had 3D printers set up in their kitchen, and they were like 3D printing things. Mm. And
I think I hear that 3D printer right now.
Yeah, and they had like their physicist friends over, and so it was just, and she's a biomedical. I was just with a bunch of smart
people.
Did
you bring your slinky?
I did not. I think it would have been a great party trick. But yeah, there was
I walked into Ellen's office yesterday, and that slinky was. She's not lying when she said she's obsessed with a slinky. It's on her desk at all times. She really does.
Like when if I'm muted on a call, like on a conference call, I sit there and I play with the slinky. And then
Your clients are like, what is that?
I mute myself and I wait. And then I wait and I'm like, okay, put the slinky down. And then I'm like, yes. And I think, you know.
And if our listeners don't know, this came up in last week's episode.
A couple weeks ago.
Two weeks ago.
Okay. Episode number
23. What about episode 24?
What happened to episode 24?
This is episode 24.
What are we talking
22,
about?
22. Episode 22.
It's like it was 22 then, yeah.
Oh, my God. Today's episode is the best subject of all time.
Mariah gets to whine.
Finally. Ellen, you gotta give your word you copyrighted, basically.
We're talking Wine-sconsin.
If anyone goes out and copyrights that after this episode, you're gonna be so upset.
I'm gonna be super upset.
We'll have evidence that we thought of it first.
Right. Please tag Discover Wisconsin on social media and use the phrase Wine-sconsin.
Yes,
thank you.
We're talking about some of the state's coolest wineries, and there are a lot of them. So this is gonna be tricky boiling it down, but I think we've got a good list here. I'm excited.
Let's get into it.
Why do I not have wine on my little table here?
What is that? A mocha coffee?
Yes.
Thingy?
What was I thinking?
A quart of wine.
Oh, is there a bottle in the kitchen anywhere?
We could mix it in there.
Coffee
probably
and wine.
Be good, right?
It's been done. I'm sure.
Gotta have a bottle of wine somewhere in this cabin.
Asterisk, insert Eric's comment about the catchy sting is what it says here on the outline.
Yes, what you just heard was called a sting.
Everyone knows because it gets referenced.
That's true. It's just cool. I love the vibe of it. Just kind of takes you away. It kind of makes you want a glass of wine.
Ellen, before you walked in here, I said I really want a t-shirt made in Eric's honor that says, they call that a sting in the business.
Oh my gosh, that would
his
be perfect.
Go-to quote.
It's
I
like
love
I'm
it.
On FM radio right now.
Yes, please write in if you demand cabin merch
oh,
because
yes.
we're trying to get that to happen.
Let's do it. And send us your ideas. Can you design the shirt for us, basically, everyone listening?
Yep. Great.
All right. Well, The Cabin is brought to you by the Wisconsin Counties Association. And this week, finally, we're featuring Shawnee County.
Which we've mentioned before.
I know what you're going to say. Yes. I accidentally confused Shawnee with Langlade? What county was
that? Well, what is now Langlade County used to be part of Shawnee County.
And I accidentally started talking about Shawnee County. Yeah. I was in the wrong county, so virtually.
You're so excited about Shawnee and everything it has to offer. You just dived right in. There's nothing wrong with that. I was so pumped.
Shawnee County, nothing gets me more excited than Shawnee County. Population, just over 40,000 people.
So and what?
Small. The Menominee Native Americans were the very first to inhabit this area. In fact, Shawnee was named after a Menominee chief. The Eshwabanon, there's a lot of hard names to say in that area, Historical Society Museum, and the Navarino, and I'm not sure I'm saying that right, wildlife area are accessible from Shawnee. So this is something I've not discovered this in Wisconsin. We're finding things I need to go
I haven't been experience. To that, but I have been to Doc's Harley Davidson dealership and museum, which is one of the coolest things you'll see in Shawnee County. It's right along Highway 29.
Didn't see any wildlife there, I'm assuming.
And it is really cool. It got a little wild there, actually.
It does get wild at Harley-Davidson dealerships, for sure. Shawnee has, this is my favorite. I think this is what I got excited about last time. Shawnee has a soda bottling or pop bottling. I'm not going to get controversial here. Museum.
Soda.
Soda.
Okay.
Soda. I'm going to say pop. I got to do it. It's a pop bottling museum, and it's a great place for water enthusiasts. So the pop/soda bottling museum that we're referring to is called Twigs Beverage, and it is so cool.
Twigs, yes.
It is so cool. There's a Sun Drop there. I think they were the original Sun Drop distributor or bottler back
then.
Very
cool. Yeah. Oh. It's an old school soda.
It's a really cool museum. This is in the show from like my million years ago, like 5 years ago.
How the heck have I not been there? I got to go now.
Yeah, you would love it. You could totally love it. Anyway, also, whitewater rafting is a big deal up in Shawnee County, too. Whitewater rafting there is so fun.
A lot of great river ways to do that.
Shall we move on over to our campfire conversation?
I think we shall. And I think, Mariah, kind of like how I took the lead on the drive-in restaurants last week. Mm-hmm. You should take the lead on this.
I'm happy
to. I love
to.
My wine, but you're on a whole nother level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it is fitting, of course, that we talk about so many wineries and call this segment Wine-sconsin. Thank you, Ellen.
Mm-hmm. Trademark.
So,
I'm very proud of it.
I think what I might want to do, I mean, how many wineries are in the state right now? There's well over 100.
Over 100.
How are you doing on that list of going to everyone?
Oh my gosh, you guys. I'm probably at half.
Still pretty impressive.
Maybe not even. Oh, okay. I don't know if this is accurate. It says there's 80 wineries in Wisconsin, according to travelwisconsin.com. But that seems like it's got to be higher than that, don't you think?
Probably by now there's over 100. They're opening at a rapid, torrid rate.
I got to go to wisconsinwineries.com. Yeah. So back in the day.
Wisconsinwineries.com. I did not know that was real.
Well, I might have made that up.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a Wisconsin Winery Association.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. I think it's, this definitely is some pre-production I should have done earlier today.
Yeah, show prep helps.
Wisconsinwineries.org. is the URL here. And at the top it says Discover Wisconsin's Wineries. So I'll try to figure out how many we have, but there's a lot of them. And back in the day, my best friend and I, we had a mission of trying to go to all of them in Wisconsin. And back then, I want to say there was like 40 or 50 maybe, and that even seemed like quite the mission. And now I'm still working at it, but they're just popping up everywhere and I'm not mad about it.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, and some of the longtime ones, like, you know, Wollersheim's been around for quite a long time.
Yes.
Outside Prairie du Sac, right along 188. And they have a relationship with Cedar Creek Winery in Cedarburg, too. They kind of
like
have a relationship
wineries,
back and forth. And they've both been around for, 20, 25 years, maybe? Maybe more?
You know, it has been so fun. I know millennials get, like, a lot of the credit or blame for making wine very popular. I discovered it in college as well.
I would call it credit.
Thank you. Me, too. Because wine had this reputation of being kind of hoity-toity a little bit. And now what I love is the wineries in Wisconsin are not. Like, I've interviewed so many winery owners here, and the common theme is we don't want people to feel out of their league here. We want them to relax, have a good time. Yeah, we'll teach you about the different types of wine, but you don't have to feel intimidated or pressured to understand the difference between a Cabernet and a Merlot and a Riesling. It's not about that. It's about having a good time, having a great view. A good view is very common, almost a precedent at so many of these wineries, which I will talk about. But I just love the feeling you get when you go to a Wisconsin winery.
Well, it's relaxing and it's delicious. Mm-hmm. And that's really the two main elements you need when you're
exploring a place.
A lot of times
there's music in the background.
And there's science involved. Your physicist friends probably love wine, Ellen, right? Your physicist friends probably love wine. Thanks for paying attention on the show.
I don't know what happened. I just zoned out. Someone is like Ellen, mowing their lawn outside, and I was
I'd just like to give a quick shout out to the person running the chainsaw directly outside of the cabin.
There's some work being done on the cabin.
Do I need to go talk to them?
Please do.
Oh my gosh, I just zoned out so hard to the sound of it, to be honest.
I really will go run out there and talk to them.
I could see it in your eyes.
Yes, physicists love wine.
Yes, they do.
So fact, it's science.
And that is one of the fascinating things when you go to a winery, is because wine is such a complex beverage. You know, you have your reds, your whites, your rosés, and your blushes, and all those kinds. And the way the grapes are, the way they're grown, the climate they're in.
So fussy.
The aging, all of those details matter. Mm-hmm. And when you talk to a winemaker who really knows their stuff, it's not a snooty thing. It becomes just fascinating how
science.
It can work.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there are wine snobs. And I've just learned I can compete with them if I just use the word bouquet.
So, oh, that's your tip. Okay.
Then it's fine. Yeah.
All right.
I hint subtle notes of oak, you know, or whatever.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
You know.
I just tip it back. I don't even engage in that conversation.
I'm just like, tastes good.
It's so good. No, you have
tastes
to do,
like another.
You do the little swirl, you do the little sniff, you do a little swirl again, then you throw it back. You're like, oh, perfection. I love it.
Well, I
every
like,
time.
I just drink it out of the bottle.
And that's how you host Discover Wisconsin.
So what are we starting with?
Okay, so let's start with most iconic. I think we need to start with most iconic.
The most iconic winery? Okay.
Yes, which you've got to agree with me here.
Yes.
Wollersheim Winery in Prairie du Sac.
And they're kind of built into a hillside.
Oh,
they have a cave that goes into a hillside.
Beautiful.
The vines just kind of cascade down the hills there. The Wisconsin River's right across the way. And they've really done an amazing job. Prairie Fumé is my favorite.
Prairie Fumé is the most popular, for sure. I love River Gold. It's a little bit sweeter. Mm-hmm. So good. That is the winery that I think really helped to put Wisconsin wines on the map. You know, people do come in from all over to go to that winery up in Sauk County. And like you pointed out, the area is, I've said this before, but Sauk County is probably my favorite county in Wisconsin. I just think there's so much to offer, and it's really a stunning drive. Make sure you get a safe driver if you are, or a designated driver if you're going to go to the winery. Have you guys been to Wollersheim Winery?
Yes, I love it.
Okay, date day.
You haven't,
you need
Dave?
To go.
I
yes,
should.
Take your wife.
Yes.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Jeez, Dave.
I've never...
There isn't a wine
in
Plantridge Hill yet.
You're
Dave,
a craft beer guy, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
I've never been huge into wine. There's definitely a lot that I don't know about wineries and
they give a
wine
great
in general.
Tour. They give a really mm-hmm. great tour.
Yes.
There.
Okay.
Yes,
I
and
will have to check it out. Then.
So many of these wineries don't serve just wine for people like you. A lot of them do have craft beer in the cooler. So
fair
you
enough.
Should go. There are no excuses, Dave.
Feels wrong to drink beer at a winery.
Here in Wisconsin, we don't judge.
Okay.
We just embrace.
We call it variety.
That.
By the way, Wollersheim has done so
Pinkies
well.
Up.
They've actually added a distillery, too.
Yes.
So you
yeah.
can get a variety of spirits
mm-hmm.
at Wollersheim.
Featured
as well.
On 10 Reasons to Love the Madison Area, Discover Wisconsin's Madison episode.
Oh, that is right.
Yeah.
Now, there is a beautiful view at Wollersheim.
Yes.
Where would you say the best view is across the state at a Wisconsin
so
winery?
This one's tough, but I'm giving it to Bailey's Run Winery in New Glarus. This is ran by Todd and Janet, who are awesome. That's
they
one
are.
Of the cool things about wineries in Wisconsin is you oftentimes get to sit down with the owners and they're running around. It's called Bailey's Run because they have an adorable golden doodle named Bailey who she kind of moseys around very politely. She's the world's most polite doodle. She's not like in your face at all.
So chill and friendly.
So the best view is partly because of her, because you get to see Bailey, but also because it sits right outside of New Glarus, overlooking the rolling hills of Little Switzerland. And it's the best version of, you know, you want a relaxing glass of wine with your friends with a great view. I mean, Bailey's Run is where it's at. I just love
they
it.
They have a great room inside to enjoy your wine, and they just got a new pizza oven direct from Italy.
Mm-hmm.
They make these pizzas at like 900 degrees and everything. And the patio, though, which is on the south side of that building, the view, the hills you get to see, the vines are right below you. They have a really cool old truck from the 30s.
Yes.
Kind of in the front.
Yes.
And it's just a great setting. It's just maybe 3/4 mile or a mile west of New Glarus.
Yeah, not even. Yep, just
downtown,
west.
Right on Highway 39.
There we go.
Yes.
You're kind of speeding there, Eric. Slow down.
I'm in a hurry to get to Bailey's Run Winery.
I know, jeepers.
They actually have a huge variety of great wines, a lot of emotive names in their wines.
Oh, yeah. I'm a total appreciator of the names and packaging of wine, and Bailey's Run has some fun with theirs.
They have one. It's a white wine called Venom.
That's dangerous.
Have you tried that?
Not that one.
It's a spicy wine.
Oh, weird. No, I haven't tried that.
I think you were telling me about this.
I did tell you about it because it's very memorable, and they make Bloody Marys using that wine.
Their Bloody Marys are so good. I didn't know that's why. So I have had that wine in my Bloody Mary.
Mixed in. And you've got to try that. I've never had wine in a Bloody Mary before.
Yeah.
But that mixture is just fantastic. So I've bought several bottles and brought them home. And continue to make bloodies with them. So
I know I mentioned, and I didn't want to do this with everyone, but because there are so many wineries with really amazing views, I will say Danziger Winery, which is over on the Mississippi River in Alma.
Then it must be.
Yes, it is. What's cool about that winery, so you know at Bailey's Run, when you pull into the driveway and you walk up, you see the view. You experience it. At Danziger, the winery block, like you come into the parking lot, the winery kind of blocks the view, so you don't really see, you don't even know idea. You walk and get your wine, then you walk out to the patio.
So there's a reveal.
There's a reveal, and it's very dramatic, and you just have no idea what you stepped into. You've got the river down there. This is really outside of Alma. Beautiful. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Don't ask me which roads. I have no idea.
Probably off 35.
It's off of Grapeview Lane.
It's a great name for a street a winery is on.
Sounds about right.
Now, you've said a lot of these wineries, they're not, you know, too fancy schmancy, but there are some good fancy schmancies. And what would be your best fancy schmancy?
Yeah, you know, sometimes you do want to just go pinky up at some of these wineries, right? Yes. So for that.
Never thought of it that way, but I like it. Because sometimes I joke, do the pinky up when I'm drinking.
Oh, yes.
Fancy. Well, you don't have to joke at this one. I'm going to go with Villa Bellezza in Pepin.
Villa Bellezza.
Villa Bellezza. Yeah, so Bellezza means beauty in Italian, according to their website. And the reason why I picked this one for kind of fancy schmancy is I remember when I first, we actually did a premiere party. We premiered an episode of Discover Wisconsin on Pepin at Villa Bellezza.
Oh, nice.
And when I walked onto their property, I was totally like, you feel like you're in Italy. You really do. Like they definitely, the architecture is very like stucco and old European. It just did not look or feel like any of the wineries I was used to seeing in Wisconsin.
Very Tuscan, maybe?
Very Tuscan. Yeah. Hmm. I've not been to Tuscany, but I'm assuming this is a winery that
Tuscan's all the rage, so yeah.
So yeah, just, and it's huge. It's a really big, actually, it's so big that I remember learning when I was there, they oftentimes would do two weddings at the same time.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know if they still do this, but back then I remember them explaining they would do two weddings at one time.
Wow.
That's how big the campus or property is. But absolutely stunning, like great room once you're inside and similar. So I mentioned Danziger Winery earlier in Alma. This is not too far away in Pepin. So you could
do a little.
That
sounds like it's just up the road,
just up the road. You could do a little bit of a little winery. That's actually, if you want to do a winery tour, that's a really good area. There's a lot of fun wineries right there and really unique wineries.
Hmm.
And how are the wines?
Oh, amazing. I'm a little bit like picky in some ways, but I'm going to drink what's in front of me. I'm not one of those people who's like giving it back. I'm not hoity-toity in that way. And I do think I've been to a lot of wineries in Wisconsin and they are not all of them use Wisconsin. So some of them use Wisconsin grown grapes. Some of them don't. And I've loved them all. Like they all have, you know, I know some people that's where they do get hoity-toity is they only want the California grown grapes. But I love to taste the difference at different wineries. And I think they all do a really amazing job.
You know, I'll go a little bit at an angle with the wineries too and give a shout out since I was just up there in Door County to the wineries that are kind of in that area around the Door Peninsula. And we're talking basically from Parallel 44, which is just outside Kewaunee, up through Algoma, which has Von Steele. And then up in Door County itself, they have the Door Peninsula Winery and Simon's Creek and Stone's Throw and Door 44. And they specialize in more fruit wines. Because of Door County's slightly more maritime climate.
Oh, I would assume just because all the cherries too.
And the cherries too. Mm-hmm. And so that parallel in the 40s, like where we are on the earth, very similar to where France and Spain and Italy are. And so they're saying that the grapes here, I mean, we are in a perfect place to grow grapes for good wine.
Yeah.
And in the Door County area in particular, the fruit wines are the big thing.
Oh, yum. Could go for a cherry wine right now. Or cranberry.
Cranberry would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what would you say is the coolest atmosphere of any winery? I mean, there's so many.
So many. But one that really, really stands out to me is Fawn Creek Winery in Wisconsin Dells.
Hmm.
I went there years ago. And the reason why I like this one is A, they host a lot of live music. And B, it's kind of tucked in the forest. Like it's surrounded by woods And that was a different environment and vibe than what you're typically used to at a winery, where it's much more wide open. You've got that big, expansive view.
Yeah, there's not a lot of forest around wineries, is
No,
there?
Not usually. That's why that one is one in my mind when I think back to the Rolodex of winery memories in my brain. I'm like, that one visually and just like memory-wise stands out to me. It's very casual. It's kind of like, even though it's in Wisconsin Dells, it kind of feels like Wisconsin Northwoods meets, you know, winery vibe. So
cool.
I like that a lot. And like I said, it is in Wisconsin Dells. You wouldn't guess it going there. It doesn't feel busy or urban in any way. Just really fun, laid-back winery.
You know, and a fun winery I'd like to give a shout-out to, because we filmed up there one time, just outside Chippewa Falls, is Riverbend.
I haven't been there.
And they have a beautiful little, they have a beautiful building. You're surrounded by the vines and then, like, some farm areas nearby. You're in a bend in the Chippewa River. And they have a lot of great live music, too. When you mentioned live music, I'm like, oh, my God, I got to give Riverbend a shout-out.
Got to go now.
Yeah. They were very cool. We had a lot of fun filming there.
Yeah.
And then how about the coolest, most historic building? I know when you talked about Villa Bellezza, you were talking about how it's very European.
Very European.
What would you say would be the coolest, most historic building here?
The though? One that stands out to me is Northleaf Winery in Milton, Wisconsin, in south central Wisconsin. I know you've been there.
I filmed there like 4 years ago.
I remember that. You did a little like cheese, wine and cheese tasting, if I recall.
I learned what Gewürztraminer means.
What does that mean?
Wow.
It's a German variation of a white wine, a sweet white wine. And she told me, just think girls are meaner. I'm like, okay.
Oh, I remember that. This. Yeah. I remember that little soundbite.
Yeah, that's in an old tobacco warehouse from the 1850s, I believe.
As 1844. Wow. 1844, I think, which is crazy. That's a real, like for Wisconsin, even, that's a really,
before it was a state.
Really old building. Yeah, before it was even a state. So, and that's just another one. I know I talked about the uniqueness of Fawn Creek and, you know, and Danziger and Villa Bellezza, but this one really, it's right there in town, but it has this stunning building. You wouldn't really guess the winery is inside, except for the fact it says Northleaf Winery on the front. Other than that.
A big hint in itself.
Yeah. And just, there's a pretty outdoor patio. I think you can rent a room there. I think there's a...
Oh, yeah, across the park. Yes, I think so.
Not necessarily the biggest winery, but that's kind of what I like about it. It's more quaint, and there's a cool little gift shop area, and I love Northleaf Winery. Popular in my little home county of Rock County. I had to throw it out there.
You gotta give them a shout-out. That's cool. So many others we can do, and we'll get back to more Wisconsin.
Share your favorites with us.
Yes, please. We want your submissions and your suggestions. When you give us 5-star ratings and all these lavishing comments, please feel free to share your favorite wineries with us. We know there's a lot more to cover.
Go to Around the Campfire on Facebook. Share photos too. I really love seeing when you guys share your photos of when you and your friends or your family or your spouses go out to these wineries. I love. And we have not been to all of them. So if you have ideas and suggestions of ones we should go to, let us know. Today, we're giving a little extra love to the Wisconsin Counties Association. Every week on the podcast, we feature a county, but what I think many people don't know is just how much the WCA does for the state of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Counties Association is responsible for providing local governments across the state with programs and services to help them better serve their communities. You can learn more about WCA and everything they do for all 72 of Wisconsin's counties at wicounties.org. Are you starting the wave over there?
Yeah, it's kind of a put your hands in the air, waving like you just don't care kind of thing.
All right, it is time to go behind the scenes, and I'm really, I know I say this, I probably sound like a broken record, but I really am excited about this for more than a few reasons.
Some episode we're just going
to be gonna
like,
you're going to call me out and be like, Mariah, you're not that excited to talk to our editor.
But, okay.
No, you guys know I love social media, and you guys already know the work of the gal we're about to introduce you, because I know you all listen and follow on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, YouTube. Should I say all? I can't say them as fast as I do, though. OTT. This is Abby Stecker. Welcome, Abby.
Hello, Abby.
Hello.
We got an Australian accent today. I love it. Okay, well, before we dive in, so first of all, what we're doing with this behind-the-scenes segment, why I'm so excited about it, is for a long time now, we wanted to invite our listeners into the show, and we felt like there's no better way to do that than to go on social media and ask you guys to kind of submit your questions.
Also a safer way to include you in the show during these times.
We can't really bring you in physically. but I was following along some of the stories you did, Abby. So Abby does all of our social media. So that's why when we say you probably already know her work, we mean you really probably do, because she's across all of her Instagram or Facebook. She's running all that, and it is a big job.
Abby has appeared on the show too.
It's non-stop. Yeah. Oh yeah. How many shows did you host, do you think? Do you remember?
I want to say like 3 or 4, but like I just don't typically tell people that.
Sorry. Well, it's for our diehard fans who've been listening or watching our show for a long time, they might be able to make that connection. Now you get to hear her. Yes. So, first of all, before we dive into the fan-submitted questions, let's just hear a little bit about you, Abby, kind of where you're from, what you do, your social security number.
Oh, my gosh. Well.
Here, go fill this cup. No, I'm just kidding.
I've been a part of the Discover family for, I think this is going on 11 years. So, I've definitely worked with Mariah and Eric and, you know, Dave and Ellen to some capacity. And, I'm from Eagle River. So, I was born and raised in St. Germain area. I love coming down to Madison and being with the team here. But yeah, so I have 3 kids, Taylor, Lexi, and Ryder, and we like to go on little adventures. We just went camping in Door County. So we definitely like to discover Wisconsin as well.
And your family owned like a pretty famous tavern and restaurant, is that right?
Yeah, so it was a bar and animal farm, which is so Wisconsin. It's like, you know.
An animal farm.
Yes,
that's awesome.
I know.
She says it so now. Like, it's just natural. Of course mix a bar with an animal farm.
It is so wild. And when I tell people that, it's like, when people aren't from Wisconsin, it's just like, I don't want them to think of it as like this redneck thing or anything like that. It was just normal to me. It was awesome. Like, we raised baby bears. So the name of the place.
Wait, you raised baby bears? Bears?
Yeah, do you like how she just rolls over like these? Like, I had baby cubs in my backyard. And
we've had bear questions on this podcast that you could have helped with.
Oh my god,
we didn't know if bears could swim. We could have brought Abby in for reinforcement.
I mean, can't they?
We found out they can.
Okay,
We didn't know that.
Confirmed. Definitely. Yeah, I raised baby bears. So it was called Weber's Wildlife, and I think it was started in like 1945 by my grandma and grandpa, and then my mom took over in 2000. But we had baby bears, coyotes, raccoons, alpacas, donkeys. Like, honestly, like, I don't know if you want to. I don't know.
Okay, which animal was like the most annoying as heck animal? Like, what was the one? What was the animal where you're like, Mom, I do not want to go feed that darn thing?
Well, the emus. Are you guys familiar with emus?
Yeah, they sell car insurance now with Liberty Mutual.
Oh my gosh, do they?
Have you heard of the Lemu emu?
Oh my god,
Abby, this is just the beginning of his joke train.
Like, just like, people still watch TV and commercials. Like, I don't know.
Well, I'm just gonna sit over here.
But no, I think those were like the most scary. But like, obviously bears, like, come on, you'd think I'd say that. But no, nothing was too annoying. I really enjoyed my childhood. Like, I thought it was so neat to have my friends over and like bottle feed fawns and baby bears. And then, like, you know, the adults could have a beverage at the bar and I would play like the zoo.
It's a brilliant business plan.
Yeah. I know,
you take
right?
the kids over to the animal farm, parents go get a drink. That is brilliant.
I know. Well,
just don't want the parents having too many beers. Hey, let's go play with the bears.
Yeah, that'd be all kind of Tiger King-esque. We wouldn't want to go that direction. But I'm sure they kept it safe.
But everybody behaved and enjoyed.
Kept their fingers. No one lost any land.
No, like, it was safe and it wasn't weird. And it wasn't like, I mean, I think about things now and just like all the precautions of animals and cages and all that. But it was just, I don't know. It was just very normal and safe. And, you know, you held the baby bears like it was like every year I had new brothers and sisters, and oh my gosh, like, that
she's
sounds
like
so
Snow
crazy.
White. I feel like she lived a Snow White childhood.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing you with all these like butterflies and Bambis and
the
cub,
baby bear
little
whisperer.
Bear cubs.
Yeah, there was a
the birds
lot
helping
going
you get
on,
dressed.
You
guys.
Yes. Yeah. The birds are bringing on your little cardigan.
I see it now. Well, we had peacocks too. So, of course, I got their feathers. And I really.
I'm no longer interested in the viewer questions. Yeah. I just want to know
I was just going to say, did you expect to spend this much time talking about
this? No, actually, I didn't even think of it. Yes. And another cool thing about our Weber's Wildlife is that maybe, Eric, you know this, but General Ben from Walt Disney was originally our bear.
Whoa. Are you serious?
Yeah. Yep. But I mean, we sold it and then later it was sold to the actual company.
Wait, what bear is this? Sorry.
It's a
I actually only hear stories. I don't know too much about it, but Gentle Ben was a Walt Disney. It was
featured in movies.
It was like a famous Hollywood bear.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And like it 50s, started 60s at your here. Farm?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I know. It's like I said, this whole thing is wild. Like, you know, and now we do not have any animals, but we just, there was such an array and it was so fun. And people came from everywhere to see these little baby bears because, like, it's so cool. Like now you have to pay like what, $50 and like you get to hold it for like a second. And then, but that people came from everywhere just to like have this experience. Mm-hmm. So yeah, January through March, we would have these baby bears and then they would go out into the zoo or the petting zoo later on. So
I am so fascinated.
This is the coolest tangent we've had on the cabin so far.
I know. I'm obsessed.
Ellen is giving us dirty looks we need to get back on topic.
We did promise to bring our viewers into this conversation. Okay. So, Abby, I know you get hit up all the time across our social media with viewers asking or fans asking about just everything under the sun. So let's boil it down to a couple. What were some of the questions that you see more commonly or what's something that came up recently that we can help answer?
Yeah, there's definitely, like, you know, you see a lot of the same, but this is a simple question, but I think it's a good one. So the first one is from Annette Merwin from Instagram. So the best place to kayak.
Well, Annette. Okay. I feel like, who's that editorial person from the 90s when everyone was like, Dear
Abby?
Was it Abby?
Yeah, wasn't it Dear Abby?
Well, that Dear sounds Abby's right. been on longer than that, but yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's what I feel like right now.
Oh my gosh, I just got excited. I was like, back to me.
That's what we should call this.
Yeah,
we should
take
call
it away.
This segment.
You ask this the is questions the Dear and Abby answer segment. Them.
Dear Abby. Oh my God. That's
we don't have to do
brilliant.
Anything.
Let's
She'll just
sit back.
Pen pal me. Yep.
It's all her.
Oh, I love it. Okay. Sorry, not to cut you off. I was going to say my initial response was, it depends. I know this is an annoying answer, but it depends on what kind of kayaking you want. Mm-hmm. So right out of the gates, I'll say if you want crazy adrenaline-inducing kayaking, I would tell you to go on the Black River outside of Black River Falls. Mm. I was scared out of my wits when I did that segment on the show. But if you want more laid-back, serene kayaking, you've got a lot more options in Wisconsin. My immediate response would probably be the St. Croix River along the, and I know this has been brought up on the cabin, along the Osceola stretch. I love that area of Wisconsin.
And that's towards Interstate State Park and
yes,
everything.
Yes, yeah. It is. The outcroppings on the side of the river. Oh, I remember seeing deer the whole time. Like you just saw deer on the side. It was just so out of a storybook. Like the scenery there was just amazing. So those would be the two spots for me that come to mind, and there are a lot of options.
I mean, there are a ton of options. A good Northwoods option is along the Peshtigo River. And we did that with Wildman Adventure Resort near Athelstane. And we did several river miles, and there's a couple of small waterfalls, nothing too crazy that you can't navigate. Although I almost biffed once, but and that's on video. But
I'm not surprised.
But you got the rushing rapids here and there, and otherwise it's really serene, and it's just the woods all around you, which is beautiful. A nice lazier one, a few log jams to get around, but the Baraboo River is a great kayaking river.
I haven't kayaked that one.
It's a really good one. We were doing the Reedsburg episode.
I remember that, yeah.
And our producer at the time, Olivia, said, well, yeah, you're just going to paddle around for a little bit. She put about a half hour in the production book for it.
Uh-oh.
They drove 7 miles to Laval. We put in for the Lazy Beaver paddle race. And
took longer
I was
than 30
out there,
minutes, huh?
11.5 river miles.
Oh my goodness.
3.5 hours of bright sun later on a 90-degree day. I was sore from kickboxing the day before. Oh. So my core was in great shape. But yeah, I got back there. She's like, wow, you're fried to a crisp. I'm like, yeah, yeah. Jeez. So we had to portage around some log jams. But otherwise, the river was great. And there's a lot of bluffs in that area, too. And I will give one more kind of an urban kayaking shout out. Mm. And that's paddling up and down the Milwaukee River in the middle of the city. Milwaukee Kayak Company and a couple of others are right there downtown. And you can put in right there on the river. You've got all the buildings on either side.
I haven't done that either.
Factories. You've got the Port of Milwaukee. You can paddle under the Hone Bridge, go out into Lake Michigan if you want a bigger wave experience.
Yeah.
Or just go all the way up through downtown and down the Menominee River. It's really, really cool. It's your most dynamic kayaking
experience. I was
going
to say, there's something to be said about that sort of juxtaposition of doing something so outdoorsy and, you know, kind of serene, and then being surrounded by these big architectural, you know, buildings, mm-hmm. like that kind of urban feel. It's got to be a weird feeling.
And going
under
those bridges, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because, and downtown, there's a lot of, I think it's pronounced Bashul bridges. They open up in the center.
Oh, cool.
And it's really, they're in Milwaukee and Chicago and not too many other mm-hmm. cities. And when you're under one of those and some tall sailboats going by and those bridges are going up and down and you're paddling under them.
Cool.
It's really fascinating.
Yeah, that's neat. I like that. Well, it's kind of like with the Door County episode when she was going, she's kayaking, and then it just
Marie?
Started going. Yeah,
Marie.
Oh, yeah, under the steel
that
bridge.
That was cool.
Yeah. Yes.
That was neat. Bridges are, they're so cool, especially when you have that vantage point of being mm-hmm. directly underneath them. Yeah, that was a really cool scene.
Okay, so the next one, I like this question because I think like when people think of Wisconsin, they always want to know like something like kayaking or whatnot. But this one is, what are the best towns for locally made arts, crafts, and foods? And this one's from Roseline Pottery.
Well, for me, when I think locally made arts and crafts,
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Princeton?
No.
Oh.
I was going to say Mineral Point.
Oh, that's an excellent one.
Yeah. You thought I was going to say Princeton because you know I'm obsessed with Princeton.
Well, you love shopping Princeton. There's so
I
many
love
great
shopping.
Local vendors
if the
there,
question
so.
Was best place for shopping, Princeton would have been my answer. And that's a tough one because there's a lot of cool boutiques. But that's not the question. I would say arts and crafts.
Bonus answer.
I can't think. Yeah, you guys always get bonus answers with us. Ellen's like, yeah, it's annoying. Stay on topic. Arts and crafts, I don't know. I can't think of anything. Mineral Point kind of takes the cake for me.
I would agree because that's kind of an artist haven at the same time. And people come in. Well, they do. I mean, a lot of them come in from around the Driftless area. I mean, towns in the Driftless area are the best for local.
Yes.
And I would also say Viroqua.
Oh, Driftless. Mm-hmm. That's the king of the Driftless area, I feel like.
It is.
And for
and
food.
It's the king
for
of food. The arts and food community there. The Driftless Cafe is there. Mm-hmm. There's a number of galleries there. And a lot of the artists that choose to reside in kind of the peaceful hills around Viroqua,
they're
that's
artists.
Where they tend to go and
Cedarburg
offer their wares.
Comes to mind for me.
Cedarburg definitely. A lot of that is local. It's a very popular destination. Yeah.
Arts and crafts. I mean, along the Mississippi, and you just said Driftless area, but along the Mississippi River in our road trip destinations episode, which is episode number 20 something,
it sure was.
We talked about a lot of the river towns mm-hmm. along the Mississippi River, and there are some amazing. Alma, specifically Alma, has some really cool art galleries and little pottery shops that I love. Really fly under the radar.
And also in the Third Ward in Milwaukee, my hood. A lot of local stuff for the city artists.
Totally.
And in Bayview. So there you go.
It's not a town, but those flea markets that are coming out of nowhere, like they have everything, okay?
Yes, they do.
Yes.
Okay, so next question is from Susie Crook, and she asked, what are the places you must take your friends or family to that are visiting from out of state?
And there are thousands of options with that. I'm gonna go with just kind of a cheesy first answer because this actually is a place I bring everybody, especially if we're picking them up at O'Hare or if we go to Chicago for the day, the Marsh Cheese Castle.
Oh, yeah.
I have to take them there because it is such a slice of
you
Wisconsin.
You called a cheesy answer. Now I get it.
Well, nice. I didn't even mean the pun. It was a cheesy response.
Wait, guys, I found the perfect thing on my hard drive for this right now.
Cheese.
Oh my, I was not expecting that.
Wait a minute.
I was legitimately hoping this would come up organically. I have this random recording of you saying cheese.
That was Eric?
That was me.
Oh my goodness, Eric.
Anyway, continue.
Please don't ever make that sound.
Audio Dave has a lot of outtakes you probably don't want to hear
from
all my voiceover work. But the Mars Cheese Castle is a great slice of the state. You get, there's so
like
many
Kenosha,
products available
say?
There. It's along the interstate. 41 and 94, just outside of Kenosha, about 9 miles north of the Illinois state line.
I went through it for the first time, I think, 2 years ago and ish.
Yeah, you had like an ultimate grilled cheese there.
Yes, I had a grilled cheese there, but I like, so Wisconsin obviously is known for a lot of like the little cheese shops along the highway, mm-hmm. but this is not a little cheese shop. This
it's
is like
literally
a
castle.
Super center. I know, it's called Marsh Cheese Castle. You walk in, you're like, holy crap, they are not messing around here. It's got a kitchen, a cafeteria,
their own bakery.
Multiple different, like, it feels like a mini mall. Like, there's like little department stores in different sections.
Does.
Me and Jess, our producer, took a really corny picture in this giant, like, king chair thing. I think I put it on my Instagram. We had a little too much fun there. But it is, I like your answer. I would not have thought of that. at all. But that's a cool quick stop too, and it's not far, obviously, off the road.
Right.
And
it's got the right amount of kitsch. It's a good intro to the state. Mm-hmm. And you get the vibe there. And the Bloody Mary's in the bar
vibe.
Really good.
You just get the vibe there.
My quick answer is Lambeau.
Blanchardville?
I was just going to say that.
Not Blanchardville.
We're not guessing well on
bring
these.
Bring them to Lambeau Field. Convert them to Packer fans.
Of course.
Convert. Yes, I'm all about the Lambeau Field.
I know. There really is so many answers to that one. Mm-hmm, I mean, I think of Cave Point, but that, you know, just those little.
Oh, yeah.
Those that's typical ones.
No, Cave Point's a great. And that one's not one that even a lot of locals think about. And I love thinking about places like that that do fly a little bit. I mean, more and more people are knowing about Cave Point. But
well, and the Whitefish Dunes State Park
it's
that's right
next
there.
To it. It's, yeah.
I was just up in Door County this past weekend, and we passed by Donnie's Glidden Lodge, which is this place I really like east of Sturgeon Bay. And you can see the cliffs, the white cliffs right there in Cave Point and everything. And it's
really neat.
To show them that part of Wisconsin, especially if they're from the coasts, like East or West Coast, that impresses the heck out of people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would probably make my friends and family take me to a winery is what my answer would be. One of the wineries I mentioned earlier.
What, are you from Wisconsin or something?
I must be. Well done. Where's the top hat thingy?
The top hat thing?
What is that called? I never... Rimshot.
A rim shot. What's the top hat thing? You mean a rim shot?
I call it a different name every week. What did I first call it?
I think you just mimed it the first time. Or a symbol thingy?
Symbol thingy.
I don't know.
It
anyway,
is a symbol thingy.
Let's rapid fire two more questions.
Mm. Okay. The next one is best TV show or movies that are based in Wisconsin. And this comes from Tim Prawl.
I'm going to go with that 70s show.
That's...
Which was they, on another episode.
Primary option
they
for me.
Yell, "Hello, Wisconsin," in the intro.
Which I feel like we could reenact the theme very easily the way we're sitting in a circle like this.
And we
minus
should.
The That's recreational a good idea. Activities.
Are there video cameras anywhere in the building? Maybe we should shoot
we don't
that
have any of those.
We're a little... in a windowless room right now. Yeah. It could get weird.
I will also add in Dawn of the Dead, 2004, took place in Wisconsin. That was Zack Snyder's first film, who was born in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Mm. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So local.
One of my favorite zombie flicks.
One of my favorite zombie flicks.
Oh, yeah.
Flicks. All right.
I used to have this huge binder of zombie movies. I won't get into it.
What?
Now you might have to.
Oh my gosh.
You should have seen all our expressions, by the way.
I was like feverishly Googling something, and then you said that, and I was like, it really. But what I was feverishly Googling was, if you guys want to know more about this topic, listen to episode 16 of The Cabin, which is, well, it's on famous people from Wisconsin,
right.
But there's a movie.
But we
TV
do
theme.
Reference a lot of movies. And
yeah,
TV
I don't
TV
think
shows.
We brought him up, actually.
A really fun
episode. But yeah.
Well, all I can think about is Liv and Maddie off the Disney Channel, and that's based off of, and they're in Stevens Point, or they say they're, wait, yeah, it was filmed in Stevens Point.
I don't know what that is.
Well, yeah, we don't have kids, so we can't relate to it.
I know. That's where I'm at. I like can't contribute anything other than like a Disney Channel show.
I know there are listeners in their car fist pumping right now because they know what you're talking about.
Thank you for bringing
you
that
are
up.
Welcome. No idea, but now I can't recall if it's based off, like it's... You know, they made it look like Stevens Point.
We never have all the answers on the podcast.
Yeah.
We just half give the answers. And then we say we'll follow up with you next week.
Yeah, anyway. Okay. So the last one of the day is, are there any personally favorite locations, topics, events of the hosts and crew that Discover Wisconsin has not done an episode on yet? And that comes from our Around the Campfire, Kurt James.
If someone wants to finance it, I will single-handedly produce an entire birding episode, just me and a microphone.
Oh, my God, Dave. That is so annoying.
You just want it for the sound effect.
I do.
You're going to host it, produce it, audio design it.
Yep. All Dave production.
How about it can be like that movie, The Quiet Place, where there's no on-camera speaking whatsoever. It's just audio. That's what you're thinking.
No dialogue, only birds.
Wow. Are you a big bird guy? Like, I didn't know this about you. Like,
no,
what? Is it just the sounds?
Yeah.
Okay.
It'd just be fun to go record.
Does anyone else
want to
make this bird show with Dave, or is he on an island here?
No.
That's all right.
It's fine, Dave. I guess I'll help.
We're throwing out ideas. They're not all going to stick.
But, you know, if you're a birder, you know, up and down the Mississippi Flyway, Wisconsin River is the place to be.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of options around here.
There are a lot of options.
I just had a lot of fun recording the cranes for this season. Mm. That was a good time. Anyway.
Boy,
your answers.
That we haven't as a show, that I haven't personally done in this show. I can think of quite a few, but the show has done a lot. I wanted to do the Supper Club's one.
Stephanie
got the honors on that.
Perfect for that one. We can do another one.
Well, that's fine. Yeah, there's plenty of Supper Clubs around
the
state.
Plenty left to do. They did four. I think there's 100 more.
I will go with that because clearly I like eating delicious food and drinking alcohol on television.
You do.
so I'm quite pleased that they typecast me for that because it was ideal.
I really wanted to do an underwater show. Because I love that.
Shipwrecks.
Yeah, the shipwrecks. Because for me, I love doing fun, crazy adventures, but I also love when history gets pulled in a little bit. Not too much. just enough where we're all keeping pace with, you know, what the story is. But I hope this isn't too like of a vulgar, sad thing to say, but anytime there's like devastation involved, I'm extra intrigued. And when we have
that's why
done,
you like murder podcasts.
I mean,
and stuff
I'm just dark like that. but yeah, I've wanted to do some underwater stuff. I think filming it would be a total nightmare.
Oh yeah.
but hopefully in a really cool, fun way. Audio would be disastrous. I would just mime everything.
Easy.
Oh, would
just,
it be? I wouldn't
just
say anything.
Loop one sound.
You would
effect
just
the
give me
time,
sound
underwater.
You would give me subtitles while I'm just my dad's big into scuba diving. He's down in Florida, so I like selfishly I want to bring him up here, not to just film, but I want to go out with him to do some cool scuba diving things in Lake Michigan and up in Lake Superior. But that's my dream episode.
Cool.
I dig it.
What about you, Abby?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. I think I said, oh my gosh, like,
what would be like, I mean, from your perspective on social media, I mean, does that change things in terms of like what you'd like, what do the people want?
Oh, well, y'all like sunrises and sunsets.
Oh yeah.
And
classic.
Yeah. I mean,
a whole show of sunrises and
sunsets.
Yeah,
that sounds pretty nice.
Yeah, I think that like,
it sounds very relaxing.
Yeah.
I think it's just cool. Like when you know which ones or what area will do better. But like even yesterday doing the Plover, Wisconsin, I like when people don't think of these little tiny towns and like, you know, you wouldn't expect to see something like, you know, as gorgeous as that one photo.
I saw that same photo and I thought the exact same thing. It was this stunning drone photo of Plover. And like you said, I think a lot of people do, you know, speaking of typecasting, they assume when they see those images that it's Door County, it's the Apostle Islands. Well, there's not to be corny, there's
the
beauty everywhere. And I love that you posted that on social media because I do, you know, back to your question about where would you take your friends and family? One thing I do say to a lot of people, whether I know them well or not, is think outside the box. You know, go to some of the iconic destinations without a doubt, but there are some really cool places and some of the most fun people I've met are places like that are just down the road and not in your typical quote-unquote touristy destination.
Yeah, Plover, Stevens Point, that whole area has a lot of cool stuff. And speaking of supper clubs, you can go to the Sky High, the first place they ever had a salad bar.
Really?
Yes, that's where they invented the salad bar.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
My mom, Karen, is going to love that.
Hi, Karen. Those were good questions. I think we need to, okay, I really want to, I don't know if we can trademark Dear Abby because it's already been trademarked, but I think it would be the most fun regular segment.
Not with an EY.
Okay, it was spelled differently?
Yeah.
Perfect.
I like where our heads are at right now.
I love it. So people can write in, say Dear Abby on social media, ask her what you want whatever your question is, and then we'll pull a new segment. I don't know when we're going to do this in the future, but I hope we can do this regularly because we really do love bringing people in. And then we can dive in more on your animal farm/restaurant
baby
pub.
Bear farm.
Your really
this is my
eclectic,
dream come true.
Interesting upbringing. I love it.
Yeah, I got the cutest little pictures, you guys.
Please
bring
them.
Yeah.
Please
bring
them.
Yes.
Absolutely. Can those go in the show notes? Can we add pictures or is that not possible?
I think so.
Okay. Well, we're going to try to add pictures of Abby holding a little baby cub.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Abby, thank you so much.
That was really fun.
We love bringing on our crew members because you guys, I hope that this podcast has helped reveal just how many people it takes to put the show together. And it's not just about the TV show. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of other elements and social media is a huge part of what we do. So if you guys aren't already following our work, specifically the work of Abby, go to Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and YouTube.
Yes. Nailed it.
Thanks, girl.
Thank you.
Thanks, Abby.
That was so fun.
That was totally fun.
I love it.
I love that tangent with the baby bears. That was phenomenal.
We're definitely going to do Dear Abby.
Isn't that?
And Dear Abby will be a recurring segment here.
Her upbringing that just had to have been so interesting. Like every day would be just like storybook. In my mind, that's what I'm picturing. Like we said, the Snow White thing.
Yep.
I just realized if I was in the woods and could have anybody with me to handle the animals and the nature elements, Abby would be like perfect.
She would definitely be my first call.
She'd like chop trees down and build a house and take care of. I'd be like, okay, I'll
She's
just
like, I know
and
what to
Instagram
do.
It.
Well, I'm going to gather some. Yeah, and show Instagram doing it. So
add a hashtag. She can do it all. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Cabin Podcast. Now, if you are a new listener, welcome. And, or more importantly, if you've been listening and you have not yet left us a 5-star review, I'm offended. I am personally offended. And Dave is sad. You can't make audio Dave sad. It's just, it doesn't work.
It's unacceptable.
It's totally unacceptable. So please, for the love of God, go leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and wherever else you can leave reviews. I think just Apple Podcasts. And please share this podcast with all of your friends and family, coworkers, everyone that you know on social media.
All right. And of course, we love to hear from you on like those questions for Dear Abby and everything. And you guys really help Ellen when she's picking out things for us to talk about on Campfire Conversations. And so, anywho, we're going on to episode 25 next week, talking about camping destinations.
Yes.
Perfect for socially distanced summer. How come mosquitoes don't know the social distance rule, by the way?
They're the worst.
They really need to, we need to work with them on that. Audio Dave will be leading our behind the scenes segment with an inside look into the world of audio engineering, and there might be bird sounds involved.
Oh, stay tuned. God. Today's episode of The Cabin was hosted by me, Mariah Haberman, Eric Paulson, and Dave Janis. Wow, I am so off. Produced by me, Alan Fallon, and Dave. Tune in next week for more Campfire Conversations and insight into the world of Discover Wisconsin. The Cabin is a production brought to you by Discover Media Works. To learn more, head to discovermediaworks.com, and don't forget to leave us a review.
And here's this week's installment of Know Your Wisconsin, just in time.
I choked on my caffeine.
The forest industry is the number two economic driver in the state of Wisconsin. According to the Wisconsin DNR, it provides more than 64,000 jobs and has an output of $24.7 billion each year. Dennis Schenick has worked in this industry for 43 years and wants people to understand the importance of forest management.
Most people think of us as loggers. I would like to think of us as a sustainable harvesting technician. Because the machines we run, the science that we put in to make sure our forests are sustainable, my great-grandkids' grandkids will still have a forest because of what we do.
Part of responsible forest management involves harvesting timber from blowdown areas, a job that is significantly more challenging and harder on equipment than normal harvesting operations.
Basically, a blowdown area is where these trees have been leveled. They've been tipped right over or partially tipped over or snapped off. That's what we call a blowdown area.
On July 19, 2019, severe storms moved across much of north-central Wisconsin, damaging hundreds of thousands of trees over more than 250,000 acres or 390 square miles. Crews like Dennis's are doing their best to salvage as much damaged timber as possible before it goes to waste.
We need to get this cleaned up as quickly as we can. It's already starting to show effects of decay.
Salvaging this usable timber speeds regrowth, putting the cycle of sustainability back in action sooner.
That's really the key point in cleaning this aspen up, because aspen mostly regenerates off the roots. We have to sever those stumps to put that regrowth back into action. There are over 1,000 uses for wood and the byproducts of wood fiber. This affects everyone's life.
There are thousands of jobs in the forest industry. Harvesting raw material is where it starts, but the products end up in every part of the state. And now you know your Wisconsin.